Before we get to this week's Survivor Exit interview, I want to take a moment and thank one of our sponsors, True Car. If you're looking to buy a car, you're probably familiar with a term like MSRP. You might even know what it stands for, but what does it actually mean? The same goes for invoice, list price, and dealer price. It's enough to confuse anybody unless you're a genius like Steven Fishback. All you're really looking for, I bet he probably doesn't know a lot about buying a car, though. All you're really looking for is a price that actually means something. Introducing True Price from True Car. Now you know exactly what you pay for the car that you want, including the fees and the accessories, before you get to the dealership. Ooh, a True Car dealer will even show you the true price on a car like the one that you want, all from the comfort of your home. And how do you know if your true price is a great price? Great question, because True Car is going to show you what other people paid for the same car that you want, and your certified dealer knows this. So they set their true price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Sestrino here with exit interview number 2 here on David versus Goliath. Just got back from New York City I got back to Long Island at least, after our very fun live show at the SVA Theater. Had a great time. Thanks to everybody who traveled from far and wide to come out to see us. And we had a great panel. I really felt like the show went so well on Wednesday night and had so much fun. And can't wait to get back out there and do it again in Reno, Nevada this time. So if you had FOMO and you missed out on our show from Wednesday night in New York City, and you can make it out to Reno, we got a great show that night. Adam Klein, Boston Rob, Tyson Apostle, Michelle Fitzgerald, who knows who else are going to be with us in Reno, Nevada on a Wednesday night, October 24th at the Peppermill Resort and Casino. It is free for you to attend, and then there's a karaoke party to follow. So if you want to be there as part of Jason Somerville's Run It Up Reno, check out runitupreno.com. Use the promo code RIU Reno for a discount at the beautiful Peppermill Resort and Casino. But we've got a exit interview coming up with Jessica Pete, and then this week in Survivor History, the quiz, where I will take on Mary Kwiatkowski here with Jordan Kalish in just a moment. But we have Jessica here on the line. Let's go ahead and patch her in. Jessica, are you there?
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. Jessica, how are you?
I'm okay.
Hanging in there?
Yeah, definitely.
Lots to talk about from last night's show. Why did the group of five that voted against you, why were you picked as the target of this blindside?
Well, from my understanding of the whole thing, I was targeted because I went out there and I was already starting to play a good game, which I guess I can't be mad at. Their biggest fear was the fact that I was close with Ian Carl, and I believe somebody said that I was like the glue keeping them together. So yeah, they voted me out because they were threatened by me, which, I mean, it's not necessarily a bad thing. I'd rather go out that way than go out in any other way.
There was that conversation in the episode last night where Gabby came to talk to you and B, and she ended up coming away from it feeling not so great about her position in the game. You guys told her, look, that people just don't want to talk about what the numbers are going to be, the votes against Lyrsa. Why not give Gabby more information in that conversation?
I feel like the reason that we didn't need to reiterate where we were voting is just purely for the fact that we had made the determination that it was going to be Lyrsa for a while. And in my mind, I didn't want Lyrsa to necessarily feel uncomfortable or threatened in any way, because I didn't want to give her time to scramble or fight a hidden immunity idol. So in my head, the vote was already set. We didn't need to continue to talk about it and make Lyrsa even more suspicious. So that's kind of where my head was at. I wish Gabby would have talked to me and like told me that she wasn't necessarily getting everything that she needed from me. That way I could have been there to reassure her a little bit more. So watching that back was a little frustrating, just because I wasn't aware that Gabby was feeling that way. But yes, that's kind of where that was.
Was Gabby right to be paranoid after that conversation?
Yeah, I mean, as someone who played the game, I could understand feeling that that sense of worry whenever you're not necessarily having the most giving conversations from somebody you're supposed to be in alliance with. So for me, I can understand it now. I didn't really understand it then, but watching it back, it's helped me kind of understand where her head was at a little bit more.
Well, Jessica, let me ask that question a different way. Was Gabby a target for you and B and Carl sooner than later, or was she not even on your radar as a target?
No, she wasn't on our radar at all. Actually, where I was sitting with my numbers, excuse me, I was close to B, but as you could see, Elizabeth and Lyrsa kind of paired off, which left the remaining three girls, which was Gabby, myself, and B. And we all three had a very good bond. We had an incredible bond. These are two women that I care very deeply about. And then I had Carl, and Carl was close with Daisy. So where I was sitting, I felt like I was in the middle of a two and two to where I could be a swing if it was ever necessary, which I just felt like that was a very good position that I was in. But Gabby was not even on the radar for a vote out, like anytime in the near future. We were planning on working with her. And in all reality, that would have been like a core group of people that I would have loved to work with later on in the game too.
When you guys were at Tribal Council in that episode last night, that there was a point where you said, hey, look, some people are just starting to play the game now that we're at Tribal Council. I'm assuming you meant Lyrsa. What was she doing that you said that she was just starting to play at right before the vote?
I think the way that I meant that is just, you know, I said, if you're not like playing the game, then like you need to check yourself, because I just feel like this is a game where like, even if you're trying to be nonchalant about it, you need to be playing. Like, you need to be making these connections. You need to be having conversations, because the second that you don't, that's when things are going to start happening and, you know, they're going to be out of your control. Now, from what I understand, the vote with me with the final decision was kind of last minute, like right before we left for Tribal. So it wasn't like they had like this plan the whole time to vote for me. I think Gabby just really started to get spooked, and that's when my name came up. So I don't feel like I was voted out because I wasn't playing, but I'm saying that normally the first couple vote outs is because you're weak or you're not playing the right way. And so I just wanted to like let the tribe know, like, this is Survivor. This is a once in a lifetime opportunity. And if you're not playing, then you're dumb.
If Pat doesn't get medevaced after that first challenge, do you get voted out second?
No, I don't think so. I think that if we would have had Pat there, then we would have had the majority, which would have been six, because we would have had E, Gabby, Pat, Carl, Davey, and myself. And that's six with the lesser of four, in which we were still loving Nick, wanted to work with Nick, but he just wasn't part of like that core for us.
Mm-hmm.
So I ultimately think that like the main target would have been Lyrsa and or Nick, because everybody, my understanding, everybody on my tribe was not necessarily the biggest fan of Nick, and they wanted him out.
How scary was it to live through the Pat emergency?
I don't think it was scary. I think it was just more emotional, because we had all just been through so much already. And so for us to be in the boat, to like see him get hurt so seriously, and just knowing that like there's not really anything you can do about it. You know, with a friend, whenever you're seeing your friend hurt or upset, like you automatically want to go to comfort them, or at least that's me. So in that situation, I felt completely powerless. So I was very concerned about him, and it was hard to watch it, especially knowing like how long he's wanted to be on this show.
Mm-hmm.
I just almost feel like he was kind of robbed of an experience all because of this freak accident. So it was definitely a very emotional day for the whole David tribe. And of course, Pat himself, I'm just really glad that he made a good recovery and that he's doing better now.
So it seemed like it was a foregone conclusion that Nick was going to go home at that first Tribal Council. Did Nick do anything different following Pat's evacuation to change his position in the group?
In my opinion, no. I mean, he was still like same old Nick, but I mean, Nick and I, you know, he was someone that I was close to. Like, we slept near each other at nighttime because I wanted to have a guy to cuddle me and keep me warm because I was freezing. But Nick and I had a good relationship, but I don't really think that he did anything differently. I just think that Lyrsa was doing more that we noticed, to where we just didn't really focus that much on Nick. We focused more on Lyrsa. So I think that's kind of how it switched.
You said that you were close with Nick and you guys would sleep next to each other in the shelter. Did you have an alliance name?
Oh, no, we didn't have an alliance name. I didn't think about it, honestly. Like, I just was very cold. And so I remember I cuddled with, like, the first night, Pat and Carl were very focused on, like, keeping me warm because they wanted to keep, like, the dad position and everything like that. But then I was just really cold. So I remember I cuddled with Davey one night. He was just a gentleman, you know, he's very sweet. He just didn't cuddle me like how I wanted to be cuddled. So I remember the first time I ever cuddled with Nick, I was like, okay, I call dibs on Nick. Like, nobody else is cuddling Nick. Nick is mine. I'm cuddling him every night because he keeps me so warm. Probably his hairy chest.
Wow. So Nick is the best cuddler on the David tribe. That's official.
Okay. I think that's where my vote goes. Best cuddler award goes to Nick.
Did you have any idea that Davey had found an idol?
You know, that is a question I've been getting a lot. I didn't know that Davey had an idol. I knew Davey was looking for an idol because Carl, myself, and Davey, we had a conversation where Davey came over to me and he said, "Yes, like I found a clue for the Hidden Immunity idol." And I was like, "Oh, really? Like, what is it?" And he showed me, like, I think it was a blue piece of string. And I remember just, like, looking at him. And in a confessional interview, I was like, okay, so Davey says he found a clue to the Hidden Immunity idol, but he showed me a blue piece of string. And like, that is not a clue to the Hidden Immunity idol. It's not even our tribe color. But, you know, it was kind of funny watching it, like seeing it was an orange piece of string. And I just don't even know where he found that blue piece of string. Mm-hmm. But I had no clue. I'm pretty sure the only person that knew on our tribe was probably Carl.
Besides B and Carl, was there anybody else that you were close with in this group?
I think that Davey and Gabby were two also. I was not as close with them as I was with B and Carl, but I still had good relationships with Gabby and with Davey as well. And then, like I said before, Nick and I had a relationship as well.
Was there anybody who you were worried about catching on that you were lying about your age out there?
Yes. It's funny because it actually kind of came up a couple of times. I think my age kind of got spoiled, like, while the show was still being filmed, just because I've been in the casting process for a while now. I was originally supposed to be cast at 35.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been a part of it for a while. And then there was just some stuff that came out, like Russell Hans did a podcast about me where, like, my age was obviously featured in that. And I was concerned that Gabby and Christian, because they're both like hardcore super fans, would have seen it or known something about it. But at that point, I didn't know that they were big fans until like after we had already talked, after we had said, "Oh, I'm this age and I'm from here." So there wasn't really anything I could do about it. I just had to hope that maybe they didn't realize that I was the same person. So yeah, my age was definitely a concern, but it was kind of like
that's
one of those
crazy
things where, like, once you.
That's crazy.
It is really crazy.
Yeah. I mean, and that's really unlike Russell Hans.
Oh, yeah. Completely out of character.
Yeah. How bad was the cyclone?
It was terrible. I mean, I definitely didn't go out expecting to be wet and cold and just completely miserable the whole entire time. Like, you watch seasons like 35, where it's all like beautiful and sunny and sandy and everyone's flirting and having a good time. And it just was not like that. Like, I would have loved for it to have been like that, but that's just not what was in the cards for me. So it was really hard. I had very minimal clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was at a constant state of just being so cold. And I didn't even remember what it felt like not to shiver, because I was just freezing the whole time.
Okay, Jessica, that you had the survivor experience. What's next for you?
That's a great question. First of all, I would love to play again. I'm always going to hope that I get that chance. I would hop on a plane now if they asked me to come out and film again. I would do it again in a heartbeat. But now I think I'm just really going to start focusing on myself and my career and my future. I'm hopefully going to start looking into getting involved in modeling somehow. And try that out, and then just really try to shoot off and get like a job for a communications type job with like a TV production type thing. I'm looking into a couple things. So I don't want to give away too much, but the ultimate goal is
no spoilers.
Live in California.
Yes.
Yeah. No spoilers. We get enough of those. I want to live in California. I would love to work out in that area. I just feel like I would thrive in that type of environment.
Okay, Jessica, very nice to talk to you. Sorry that it didn't go your way in the season, but you seem really nice and nice talking to you.
Thank you. You have a good day. I appreciate it.
All right, take care, Jessica. Bye. All right, everybody, there you have it. Jessica Pete, who is on her way, model, host, California, who knows? But thanks so much to Jessica coming out here on the podcast and some interesting stuff there along the way with Jessica. We are going to now switch gears, and now we're going to bring in the host of This Week in Survivor History. I recorded this segment earlier in the week because of the live know-it-alls, and let's bring in Jordan Kalish, and I will be taking on this week Mary Kwiatkowski in the This Week in Survivor History quiz. All right, let's bring in the host of This Week in Survivor History, my great buddy, Jordan Kalish.
How's it going, Rob?
It is going well, and here we are again recording this earlier in the week because of everything going on with the Know-It-Alls week, but happy to be back on a hot streak, unlike those New York Jets.
Yeah, the Jets not doing so great. You were able to defeat Brett LaBelle in week one. I'm pretty sure you had a couple of wins at the end of last season too. So it's been a while since you've lost one of these quizzes. But we have another great competitor here today to try to end the streak.
Jordan, tell me about who you've brought with us here today.
So in the Rob Has a Podcast patron group, which if you become a patron, you get many perks that a regular listener doesn't get. But there is a thread saying, who do you want to hear on a podcast? And somebody said, I really want to hear this person on This Week in Survivor History. So it was actually Mary Kwiatkowski who suggested this next guest, and she actually suggested herself. So we have Mary Kwiatkowski here. She is a former competitor on Sequester. She talks about Big Brother on the Big Brother live feeds with Taryn. Mary Kwiatkowski is here. Mary, are you excited to take on Rob today?
I am. You know, those silly little Big Brother podcasts, those are just a means to the end. It's all really about Twitch. That's the main goal, and this is all I've wanted to achieve.
Yes.
Well, yeah, that's actually why Brett went on Survivor, because he wanted to be on Twitch.
Yeah, I guess so. So, yeah, very excited to have here Mary Kwiatkowski here on This Week in Survivor History, the quiz. Mary, I was very excited when I saw that you posted that you wanted to step into the play. I feel like there's a lot of times that Jordan is, like, reluctantly dragging people kicking and screaming onto This Week in Survivor History. He has to call in a lot of favors. So I was very happy that somebody is willingly here.
Well, you just need to look for the lowlives who haven't actually been on reality TV.
Okay.
We're all over it.
All right. Now, Mary, what's your history with the show, real quick?
Been watching since I was, 5 years old when the show started, and probably around high school or college, I got really into the strategy of the show. So, I'm kind of new to Big Brother, but Survivor's been the mainstay of my life, and rewatch it all the time. So I play along every week with the Twitch, and I feel like I've been doing decently well enough to hopefully not embarrass myself.
Yes, and very appropriate.
Yeah. Yeah, she's doing pretty decent following along with the questions.
Mary, do you often beat me when you play along at home?
I generally do better because I score myself for both you and the other person.
Yes.
So that's how I'm trying to do it. But I do better than whoever loses, and I sometimes beat you.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, let's see how it goes. And we will get to that in just one moment. But This Week in Survivor History, the quiz is sponsored this week by our friends over at Blue Apron, of course. Blue Apron, the David fighting the Goliath of boring dinners, because they deliver farm fresh ingredients and step-by-step recipes right to your door. Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everybody, and they achieve this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the high standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. With Blue Apron, you choose chef design recipes where they deliver the fresh, seasonally inspired ingredients, and you can cook incredible meals in as little as 20 minutes. Jordan, that you could create a Blue Apron meal shorter than this podcast and maybe even this quiz.
That's pretty incredible. And I was in the supermarket today and I felt myself like wandering around aimlessly. I didn't know what to buy. I didn't know what I wanted to make, but Blue Apron would have solved that problem. I should be getting on this train.
Blue Apron's got a great offer for our listeners. Just go to blueapron.com/Rob. You can get your first three meals for free. All you have to do each week, you go out, you pick out the Blue Apron meals that you want, and Blue Apron does the rest. Quick and easy recipe options with insanely delicious flavors, perfectly portioned ingredients delivered right to your door. Skip the meal planning, get straight to cooking with Blue Apron, and get rid of your grocery list and let Blue Apron do the meal prep for you. They have a range of recipes bursting with flavor. Whether you're looking for quick and easy meals or full culinary experiences, Blue Apron lets you choose a range of recipe options. Get out of the cooking rut and experience the joy of new recipes. Jordan, you will have so much joy with these new recipes from Blue Apron. Blue Apron helps you get out of your routine. So say hello to chef design recipes and restaurant quality meals. Always a hit at my house when we're having Blue Apron. So check out this week's menu. Get your first three meals for free at blueapron.com/Rob. That's blueapron.com/Rob to get your first three meals free at Blue Apron. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Okay, Jordan, let's cook up some This Week in Survivor history, okay?
We have, as always, four multiple choice questions for the two of you. We're going to go back to a bunch of seasons from This Week in Survivor history. As you guys know, you each get to answer two multiple choice questions. If you choose not to hear the multiple choice options, you get 2 points on a correct answer. However, you open the door for your opponent to steal and gain a point. If you do hear the multiple choice options and you are correct, you get a point, and your opponent cannot steal if you are incorrect. So the four categories that we have today, we have Is Roundabout Fair Trade, Survivor Nicknamers, Survivor Name Droppers, and Love the Drake. So Mary, as the guest, you get to choose your question first.
Ooh, I think I'm going to go with the Is Roundabout Fair Trade.
Okay, Is Roundabout Fair Trade. And as you may have expected, we are going to go to Survivor China. The episode was called I Lost Two Hands and Possibly a Shoulder from October 4th, 2007, 11 years ago today. When Leslie Nice is kidnapped, she's given a clue to the hidden immunity idol that she must give to a member of the Xianhu tribe. She decides to give it to the person who had gifted her the clue in the previous episode, proving that turnabout is indeed fair play. Play or fair trade or whatever that expression is. To whom does she give the clue? Don't F this up. And by F, I don't mean Forstenhausler.
Okay. I'm pretty sure that based on who the previous tribe kidnapped, I think it's Jamie.
Jamie, is that your final answer?
That is my final answer.
Mary, you are starting off really hot here. You get 2 points. Jamie Dugan is the correct answer. Yes, Jamie was kidnapped in the previous episode. She gave the clue to Leslie Nice, proving that roundabout is fair trade or fair play. So, Rob, you have some coming back to do now. It is your turn to choose a question. Which category do you want?
I am going to say that I will go with. Let me go with Survivor Name Droppers.
Survivor Name Droppers. And we're going to go to Survivor San Juan del Sur, the episode Method to This Madness from October 1st, 2014, 4 years ago this past Monday. Who on the Hunapu tribe compares something he did at camp to something Jatia did during her time on Survivor?
I am going to have to hear the multiple choice answers. Please, Jordan.
All right. Was it A, Keith Nail, B, Reed Kelly, C, Drew Christie, D, John Mish?
Don't recall anybody saying this. I'm going to go with D, John Mish.
All right, D, John Mish. It sounds like a little bit of a guess, but it was a good guess. John Mish compares his losing of the flint to Jatia throwing the rice in the fire, which was kind of a bad comparison. But I just found it funny that you have John Mish bringing up Jatia.
Well, I think he's like one of these people that we, like in Big Brother, these recruits that have watched like the last season before they played. So I think that that was sort of maybe top of mind for him.
Yeah, but I mean, his was clearly an accident. They ended up finding that flint anyway. So
are you implying that Jatia didn't accidentally spill the rice, Jordan?
I've watched Survivor Kagiyan multiple times. I did a Why Tony is So Great podcast with you at one point. So I watched Kagiyan again for that and for all these questions. I'm pretty sure every time I've watched it, it seems like it's intentional.
Okay, watch it again. Go back and check.
Okay, hey, Survivor Kagiyan, great season. I'll watch that anytime. So, Mary, you have a 2-1 lead, and it is your turn to choose a question.
Yeah, I really dodged a bullet. I definitely did not know that last one. So, okay, so what categories are left?
We have Survivor Nicknamers and Love the Drake.
Ooh. Okay, I really hope this is about Pearl Islands. I'm going to go Love the Drake.
Love the Drake, thinking that it is about the Drake tribe from Pearl Islands. And we are going there. The episode is United We Stand, Divided We .. from October 2nd, 2003, 15 years ago, Tuesday.
And I just want to say, as a fantasy football player, I hate the Drake.
Hate the Drake, hate Kenyon Jake. Oh,
the Drake stinks.
Rob, the RHAP league, I scored 160.1 points. I don't know if anyone in all four leagues was able to beat that this week. I would like to hear if anyone did better than that. I was also 4-0 in my four leagues this week for the first time this season.
Please go on, Jordan. Please.
People love hearing about my four fantasy leagues. But so Love the Drake. We all remember Sandra's famous "I can get loud too" with the F line. We all remember that she said it to Fairplay during an argument. What was this argument about?
I think I know the answer, but I'm going to go with the multiple choice.
Okay. A, who does more work around camp? B, Fairplay sleeping too much in the shelter. C, who is a faster swimmer? D, which one of them should win the fishy for this episode?
I think it's about who was a faster swimmer.
That is correct. So you get 1 point for that. Yeah. They're basically strategizing for who should sit out of the reward challenge, because if you're sitting out of the reward, you would have to play in the immunity. So Fairplay is speculating that if it's a swimming challenge, Sandra should sit out because she's a bad swimmer, which leads to a big argument about Sandra saying that she beat John to the dock on the first day, and John's talking about how he was swimming with stuff. So it was a really stupid argument, but it led to one of the best and most entertaining arguments in Survivor history. So thankfully they couldn't decide who was the better swimmer between the two of them. So you have a 3-1 lead here. Rob, you really, you probably need to get this question right, unless you really want to pull out a miracle in the death match. We are going to Survivor Nicknamers. The season is Survivor Cambodia. The episode is Survivor MacGyver from September 30th, 2015, 3 years ago this past Sunday. Episode 2 of Survivor Cambodia is called Survivor MacGyver, referring to Joe Anglim. Who coined this nickname after Joe built hammocks for the tribe?
Well, this is an interesting spot here, because I could use the 2 points that I probably know the people that you're going to say in the multiple choice, but it would be a full-on debacle if I missed it and then Mary stole the point. So I will go with, give me the multiple choice.
Okay, was it A, Tasha Fox, B, Stephen Fishback, C, Jeremy Collins, D, Cass McQuillan?
I feel like out of anybody who is going to know about MacGyver, I feel like that I don't think that Tasha is watching MacGyver. Stephen Fishback, that's too lowbrow for him. MacGyver, who is the third person?
It's Jeremy Collins or Cass. C is Jeremy.
Go between Jeremy or Cass, but I feel like that MacGyver is probably more likely to be a reference that Cass makes. So I will go with D, Cass McEwen.
So Cass McEwen, it appears that Survivor MacGyver, not too lowbrow for your friend Stephen Fishback, who we're all going to see on Wednesday night. And if you're listening to this, it's actually you've seen him on Wednesday night. Fishback coined the episode title, coined probably not Joe's most famous nickname. I think he's more well known as Joey Amazing, but it was actually Fishback. So you don't get a point there.
Mary, do you know that?
Steal. I did not know that for sure, but I was going to guess Steven.
Okay. All right.
So it's probably good that you at least heard the multiple choice and didn't open it up for Mary to steal a point. However,
yeah, I gotta admit, the earlier seasons are really my strong suit, not these later ones.
I would say the same for me as well. But Rob, the streak is in jeopardy. You have not lost in a very long time. Mary has a lead going into the death match. However, you are still able to win this quiz here because you could score up to 3 points if Mary gets her first question wrong. So we're going to go to Survivor Millennials versus Gen X. The all important summit occurred this week in Survivor history on October 5th, 2016. 8 contestants, 4 Millennials and 4 Gen Xers attended the summit. You will alternate picking contestants who were at the summit. 4 answers will be given during this round, and if you're incorrect, you may not answer any more points unless we go to a tiebreaker. Therefore, if you're incorrect on your first response, you open the door for your opponent to gain 3 points in this round. If there's a tie after 4 answers, we go to the tiebreaker. So, Rob, you are losing rare territory for you, so you get to actually choose first. Who's your first answer for a contestant who was at the summit?
Paul Wachter.
Paul Wachter, that is correct. He was at the summit. You get a point. Mary has a 3-2 lead. Mary, it is your turn.
I think David was there.
David was at the summit. You have a 4-2 lead. Rob, it is your turn.
I believe Taylor was at the summit.
Taylor, the first millennial off the board, correct. He was at the summit. You have a 4-3 lead, and Mary, this means that you've actually wrapped it up. It is your turn. It's only a matter now if you won 4-3,
getting the question right, her wrapping it up?
Because she had a 2-point lead going in, and the way that it works, you get four answers in total are given. So if you get,
Didn't she wrap it up when she got the question right?
Yeah, she did. I just wanted to make it more suspenseful. Yes. Once Mary got that first question right, when she said David, she did. Yes. So you could, Mary, let's see if you could run away with it, bro. It's going to be like the Jacksonville Jaguars going for 2 at the end of the week 4 game against the Jets. Let's see if you could put more points on the board against Rob, giving him his an even worse defeat for the first time in a while.
Well, I do believe that people were worried that the showmance might be blown up there. So I think Figgy was at the summit.
Yes. Very good job. Figgy and Taylor, Figtails, both at the summit. And Mary, you win the quiz 5-3. Rob has been defeated. Rob, you know, it's lucky that this is coming out after Survivor Know-It-Alls, because all night people would have been coming up to you saying, Rob, what happened? What you forgot your Survivor history. But luckily you won't have to deal with that.
I won't hear this until next year. That's a good point.
Don't worry. I won't rub it in. I won't let anyone know.
Yes. Okay. Well, Mary, a well fought victory for you. Congratulations on coming into the dojo and stealing a victory away from me.
She called her shot. She said on Facebook, I want to face Rob. She knew that she was going to beat Rob this week in Survivor history.
To be fair, it's all about picking the early seasons. I don't know if you would have also gotten those 2 questions I got. So I definitely would not have gotten yours.
Okay. All right. Well, Mary, thank you. You are quite gracious in victory, much more so than many of the other competitors that I face.
Well, thank you very much for letting me come on and achieve this dream.
Yes. Okay. And thank you for coming on here and dealing with the pressure of this week's Survivor history.
No problem.
I'm struggling to not use the phrase poorly worded questions.
I really think you've only used it besides the one you just said it just now, but I think you only used it maybe once last week, or no, actually Brett was actually made the opposite point that I made. I had a very well worded question. So, you know, it's interesting. I used to be so embattled. I was such an embattled podcaster, but I've really, you know, come out of it. I was a David. Now I'm a Goliath. I'm a Goliath in bloom. And my questions have I don't think I've had a poorly worded question about 2 seasons. So there's that. I'm very happy about this. Okay. So yeah, Mary thank you again for coming on. Awesome job, Rob. Thank you for the compliment about my questions. Great week, and look forward to talking to you next week, Rob.
Okay, well, if you want to follow Mary on Twitter, you can do so. Look her up at Frail Mary on Twitter. Not frail today. Was very virile and strong here in the This Week in Survivor History quiz. Mary, do you have anything you want to promote?
Not too much. I hope to put some Survivor tweets out there soon. I know that everyone was just loving the Bachelor in Paradise tweet. So sad that's over.
Yeah. all right. And then, of course, follow Jordan on Twitter. He is at Jordan Kalish. And thank you both so much. And we'll be back after next week's exit interview.
Really quick, Mary, who was the first survivor you followed on Twitter?
Oh, yes.
Oh, God. Actually, I pretty much made a Twitter account in order to follow Boston Rob. So I bet that it's Boston Rob.
That's correct. I'll add a point to your total. 6-3. 6-3 win for Mary Kwiatkowski. Dominating week here, and hopefully Rob's able to get off the schneid in week three of the Survivor season.
All right, Mary, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
All right, there you have it. This week in Survivor history with Jordan Kalish and Mary Kwiatkowski. Can't all be winners. Can't all be winners. Sometimes, you know, every once in a while, you lay an egg in the This Week in Survivor history quiz. But that's okay, because we had a great Survivor know-it-alls on Wednesday night. And that's the important part of this week. I won't dwell on this loss. I'll get back on that horse next week. All right. So we are going to now switch gears. Coming up next, I'm going to talk with Chaos Cass McEwen coming up here on Thursday. And then I am going to, once I'm eventually back in the studio, believe it or not, I will be speaking with the great America's favorite Eric Stein. I'm going to talk with him off the heels of the critically acclaimed Summer of Stein podcast. Eric Stein will be joining me to check in on the week two feedback show. So get your questions in. You can send your questions to survivor@robhasawebsite.com, or you can also leave us a message, robhasawebsite.com/voicemail, or 323-282-RHAP, and I will be recording that on Saturday afternoon. So you got a couple days to get your questions in. And then, of course, the week two wiggle room is on the way. Got to see Josh Wiggler in person last night. Always a treat. He might be delirious after the New York Comic Con, but we will talk to him on Monday. So get your week two wand offs in as well. So looking forward to all that. Thanks again for listening. So much fun getting to meet so many of you guys in real life last night. Hope you guys enjoyed the conversation with Jessica and the Twitch quiz. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.